Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com,
powered by infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what do you know? We are in the second hour of the big show. It is Nick, it is Barry, it is Joel, it is an FEF Friday as we continue to roll on here on The Usual Suspects. Barry brought up a subject that I've brought up in the past, and I believe it to be true now, and I believe, Nick, we should implement this new rule because of all of you Siskel and Ebert critics out there in the world. If you are going to criticize anything that we wear, anything that we do, the prerequisite is you send a picture in of you. And it better be of you, not of some model that you think you emulate. And then tell us what you do, because then we'll rip apart what you do for a job and see how fun it is. Because just we leave ourselves open here doesn't mean that you need to come in every chance you get.
I mean, I'm open to it, but who's going to do that? Who's going to text
you? Yeah, nobody's going to do that.
Because they don't have balls. They don't have the big Barry balls.
I get it. People are going to be critical, but just make it fair. Tweet me a picture of you and let me roast you on Twitter. That's all I'm saying. Just let's
see how fun it is.
Yeah. Because people are like, said Joel has a dad hat, which I disagree with. It's just a Nike hat.
Golf hat. It's a dad hat now.
Yeah. But whatever. And then they're making fun of Charlie Shorts and his shoes. And
Did Mr. Gao plan on reprimanding him for being too revealing in the studio?
He thought about it.
I really did think his testicles were going to fall out of his shorts. That was kind of weird.
Wouldn't they have a better chance of popping up over the waistband?
Oh, wow.
Just asking.
My God.
I mean, with the 7.5s, I mean, y'all put everything into perspective, don't you?
Man.
All right, let's get some hoops. Yeah. So we started to kick it around a little bit, but we've been basically talking about Astros in the first hour. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the NBA. Before we get to what's going on around the league, we know that what's going on tonight in Salt Lake City is the Rockets and the Jazz in Game 3. Series tied at 1-1. We went back and forth the other day to kind of say, was this a wake-up call? Is this something to be worried about? I think we were all in agreement. The Rockets are still going to win the series, but this is a big game for them because of the fact that we know it's a hostile environment. We know that the team did not play well in their last game, and we know that the last thing they want to do is fall down 2-1 on the road. So where are you guys at? What's going to happen tonight?
I you know, you have to play, if you're the Rockets, first thing, you've got to go in there and play with a sense of urgency. You worked all year, and they even talked about we worked all year for the home court advantage. And I honestly, too, don't sell the fact short that were the Rockets a little disappointed in the turnout? Were the Rockets a little let down by the support that they're not getting from this fan base? Because let's face it, the fans this year have been kind of brutal as far as it's not been the same Toyota Center that we're used to seeing in the playoffs. But I think they've got to play with a sense of urgency. You worked all year to get home court advantage, and just like that, you lost it. I fully expect them to go out there and split. I heard Dell on the Dell and Rahill show the other day saying, almost to the point that you've got to win Game 3. If you lose Game 3 and you go down 2-1 in this series, then they're going to press because now you have to split and get Game 4. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but it makes sense. It's a good point.
I think the third quarter is – no, I think I agree with you 100%. I just think the third quarter is probably one of the most important quarters for them in this game, regardless if they come out to a slow start or not. And especially if they do come out to a slow start. They can't come out to a slow start. But I think the second half is really important for them because, let's be honest, they've been known to kind of coast in the second half. And even when they have a comfortable lead and even when they don't and they're far behind. So I think closing out the game is so important, especially on the road. And then I know we've mentioned it a million times, but the mental factor. This might be something like Joel mentioned yesterday. The Utah fan base may condition them in the event that they get past them and go to Golden State, which I fully expect that they do, may condition them to players like Draymond Green in round three, who's absolutely going to try or at least attempt to get in one or more of the players' heads on the Rockets squad. So there's a mental factor that's really important, I feel like, in this series. And I think that's important because hopefully it conditions them in the next series. That's all. But I think the third quarter is really, really important.
Here's the thing, though, Nick.
That's a good point.
The biggest quarter that they've had throughout the playoffs has been the third quarter because over the years I've been hypercritical of the fact that they fall asleep at halftime and they really let themselves open to getting punished by a team in the third quarter. In the playoffs, in the Minnesota series, including a 50-point quarter, they have exploded. They have been better in the third quarter. I've said to you guys a couple times, I'd like to know what they're giving them at halftime and the pep talk that they're getting with it because they're coming out focused and they are busting some ass. But the thing that you're absolutely right. The thing that they have to, aside from avoiding a slow start, they have to be aware of the fact that they're going to get punched in the mouth tonight because that fan base is going to be jacked up. And they know they got exactly what they wanted, which was a split in Houston. So the last thing that they're going to do is come out flat. And so you always talk about your first game on the road in a series. Look what Minnesota did. When they went to the first game in Minnesota, they lost the game because the Wolves fans were outrageous. That's what you're going to get in Salt Lake City. And you're the only game in town. So it's going to be an environment. So
those role players got to step up. I mean, and Tucker and Ariza has to have more good games. They can't just have one good game every three or four games. They got to have two, three good games in a series. You know, they just can't.
They also have to be, some coach has to sit them down at some point before the game tonight and said, you know that feeling that you felt in the fourth quarter when you missed those two shots in the corner, PJ Tucker? Learn from it because it's going to happen again because that's what the teams are going to do. Their goal is to give you those shots at that time of the game and put the pressure on you. You either are going to step up and do it or you're not. We fully believe that you can, but don't expect that was an anomaly. That's going to happen again, and you got to be ready when it does. You got to knock down those shots.
Especially when you play, and I don't mean to cut you off, but last point is that do you guys realize that Steph Curry scored 28 points off the bench for the Warriors, not to mention the, 28 or 29 that KD had.
Well, he played more minutes than the starter did, too.
And he got 20 from Draymond Green. Like, that's something really scary to deal with if you have a low productive quarter. I mean, that's just something you have to face. And there's, like I said, there's a mental aspect to that. What are you going to do when Kevin Durant's hitting shots, Steph Curry's hitting shots, Klay Thompson's hitting shots, Draymond Green is dropping a dub on you? That's just, dude, that's a lot to deal with.
I think one thing Joel, you made a good point yesterday about Joe Johnson. Don't be surprised to see Joe Johnson, especially up in Utah. This is a gym he's familiar with. He knows the fans. You haven't seen him at all. I also fully expect this rotation to be even smaller. In other words, you've seen Anderson and Nene and Green and Gordon and Mbamute. It won't surprise me if this becomes an eight-man rotation for as long as possible. You do have to get Capella some rest, but they like to go small. I would only go small when Rudy Gobert isn't on the floor, and that's probably your chance. I would match minutes with Gobert, and if he's on the floor, Capella's on the floor. Otherwise, then you might want to go small and run P.J. Tucker as your five. Or Mbamute, who can handle that, or you don't even have to worry about it because they love to switch on the big man. You'll see Harden down there guarding the big man switch.
And
he absolutely
capable.
Can do
yep.
it.
Yep.
But I think that because of that, you'll probably see this rotation become a lot shorter. It's Mbamute and Gordon off the bench as your one and two options, and Joe Johnson will probably get some time.
Even the guys that he does put out there, the leash is going to be a lot shorter too, because we all know that turnovers and mistakes are magnified in the playoffs, and Gerald Green can't shoot you out and be allowed to do so. That's going to be key. So you've got to make sure that the guys that you do play, if they're going to screw up or they're getting exposed like a Ryan Anderson on defense, got to yank him out right away because you can't afford that, especially on the road in a situation like this. So you're absolutely right. I agree, too. They're going to reduce the numbers of the guys they go to, and if the guys they go to aren't doing it, they're going to get yanked out real quick. And the other thing they got to be careful about, Nick, is with everybody looking at the Warriors and saying how good and this and that and the other thing, you can't look past this team. Because for everybody that says, well, Joe Ingles isn't going to do that again, but Donovan Mitchell was in foul trouble and he didn't do a whole lot.
Well, again, Harden was in foul trouble. Chris Paul was in foul trouble. Capella early.
But I'm just saying, don't sleep on the Jazz. First of all, they play great defense. And second of all, they've got a lot of youth and athleticism that you can't just think, well, that happened once, it won't happen again. It's a different animal than the Timberwolves. So it's something that you got to pay attention to.
Here's the other anomaly from the rotation, from a rotation standpoint, that you might see change. And I don't know. I mean, I'm fine if they go small. But Nene, he played about 10 minutes a game in that Wolves series.
I kind of have a problem with that, though.
He's played four per game in these first two games against the Jazz.
I think he should play.
That's what I'm saying. He played, I mean, he was 10, 11, 12 against the Timberwolves. 4-4 against the Jazz.
Either he's lost it and he's hurt and we don't know. But here's the other thing.
Why is he only played 8 minutes in two games?
Favors has been a problem from time to time, too. They go big in their front line. That's why you have Nene. That's why you saved him in back-to-back situations.
That's why you kept him at 15 minutes in the regular season. You would think he'd go up to about 20 in the postseason. That's my whole conclusion.
Yeah. That's why you have him.
And don't
you rested him all year for this moment. And now he's playing 4 minutes.
You're saving him because you may save him and it may bite you in the ass and you never get to the Western Conference Finals. You need him so that you continue to have the strength and advantage in this series. And right now they're in a very vulnerable spot. They got to be prepared for that.
The only defense I could see for Mike D'Antoni not playing him is because our boy Kelly Eco, who was in the studio, he broke the story on the Vice. Nene was the one who told him that this was going to be his last year no matter what and that he would retire. And Kelly was the one that actually broke that story.
So then you should be playing him more.
Exactly.
I mean, 4 minutes, no point.
Maybe there's something
this is what he's averaging.
In terms of an injury.
This is what he's averaging versus Utah. 4 minutes, no points. That's his average. In two games, he's played 4 minutes each game and scored nothing.
Or, Nick, he finally realized there are balls he used to be able to get to and shots he used to be able to block that he ain't getting anymore, and he realizes it's time.
I mean, if you were going to do that, you should have been playing Joe Chi and letting him get some seasoning and experience so he would have been ready for the playoffs.
I'd like to get him an easy tag to a drive-through and maybe put on some weight. Because I'm not sure
that wouldn't be bad either.
Yeah. All right, we're a little late for a break, so we're going to catch up. We're going to get a break, and we're going to keep rolling on. USA Mike, Patrick, we see you. We'll get you in. So everything's good in the world, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So I've been black for like 7 months, and it's going good. It could be better. I lost my job recently. That kind of sucks. You know, you learn a lot about yourself, though, when you lose your job. I learned that the hardest thing about losing your job is trying to figure out what to steal when you're leaving, because I'm taking something. Right? You're not going to just fire me and expect nothing to come out of me. You knew who I was when you hired me, Macy's. You knew what the deal was.
Hey, there's our comedian of the week on an FYI Friday, Kazim Rahman, and personal friend of Barry's, very funny dude. So we've got clips throughout the show. You'll get another one at 3:15, but good stuff. Check him out. Follow him on, you got his Twitter account?
Yeah, at Kazim Comedy on the Twitters.
K-A-Z-E-E-M.
Yeah, Kazim, not Kazam, like Shaq's movie.
Thanks, Shaq.
Hey, random question. Whatever happened to Tyrone? Did he hit you back?
No, he didn't. I reached out to him.
That's son of a...
You guys want to explain that?
Yeah, yesterday I talked about the fact that I this dude Tyrone on Instagram, which I think his real name is Nafil, and but he does
based
this
on his Twitter handle.
Yeah, I watched a Vlad TV interview with him, completely different than his character. He's an R&B singer,
by the way.
I was like,
through.
What?
No,
yes,
is he?
He's an R&B singer.
And he's a big dude.
And but he was like, yeah, man, and he's real chill. Like he doesn't talk like that. He's so, but Vlad TV asked him, like, well, do you really go around trying to have sex with everybody's wives? He was like, come on, man. Who are you asking? Are you asking Tyrone or are you asking Nafil? He was like, I'm asking the human being that's sitting there. He goes, yes, I've had sex with other people's wives. And I don't know.
That's hilarious.
It was pretty interesting. But, yeah.
I will say this, though. I went back and
started watching.
I watched, yeah, some of it's staged.
Some of it is, but some of them I don't think are.
Like the one in the car?
He's been shot. Somebody told me he got shot, which I validated. I looked at later. He got beat up by another dude that was like ball-headed.
That's what I could see happening if it was totally real. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The one I knew that was staged was the one where he was a cop and he pulled this couple over.
Yes.
Because the camera angles were just too perfect.
That was a sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a sketch that he wrote. So that's that. But when he does like the slapping cigarettes out of people's hands,
that's real.
Those I don't think are staged because okay. He talked about the fact that when he first started doing those, I got to get his. Will you look up his Instagram while I'm telling people? But he talked about the fact that when he first started doing them, that he was on Vine and he was trying to get Vine followers, and that's when he came up with the character. And then he was like, "Come on, man, follow me. We're gonna go outside and do this." And he just started walking up to people. And doing it and catching them off guard. And so he stuck with that. So some of them, he said one of the worst ones early on was he staged one with his friend because his friend's grandma was there, but they didn't tell the grandma. So he walks up, he's like, "Who is this old ass bitch? I'm gonna have sex with your grandma." And the grandma slapped the fire out of him. And it wasn't like he wasn't expecting it. And he was like, "It was so hard to not break character because it hurt." She's like, and she carries heat. So I thought she might shoot me. Like,
well, that's what I was going to say. It almost validates everything because of the fact that he has been shot. Because you talked about that one where he took on three guys at once and they started swinging. And you're like, yo.
It's crazy.
You put yourself in that situation, at some point, something's going to go really wrong.
Yeah, on Instagram, he's Nafil_HD. So, and I think I'm saying it right. Naphil.
Yeah, Nafil.
_HD.
Yeah, Nafil_HD. Naphil. Nafil_HD. So funny, man. Even if you find out that they're fake, the way that they use sound effects, it's just hilarious to me.
Yeah,
which, by
funny.
The way, I showed my wife. She goes, "That's stupid." And I was like, "All right, this is why. I don't know how do we last 20 years? We have nothing in common. I don't understand that." Ryan Bowe on Twitter, by the way.
I was just going to say, the one thing where everybody says, you know, how you have so much in common with your wife and things like that. I always say the same thing to Lisa. Like, is this the opposites attract thing instead? Because it's like, no matter what I say, she's going to be the devil's advocate in almost every situation.
Shout out to Ryan Bowe, B-O-E, on Twitter. Sent me a picture of himself. Because I said, "Hey, let me send me a picture. And you want to go roast to roast, I'll be happy to do it." He took a lick, man. So good for him. He
Does
sent
he
a picture.
Funny?
Yeah, he looks weird. He's
what does he look like?
I roasted it. You just want me to say it. Go to my Twitter if you want to see it. Right at Barry is funny. Yeah.
Oh, my internet's down. What?
You really
my
want me to say
down.
It?
I mean, what?
I told him he looks like his dad's trust fund ran out in junior high, and that his mustache looks like a 12-year-old boy's pubic bone. That's what I told him, and I had to zoom in to see the mustache. It's wispy at best. At best. You ever seen a tumbleweed in the middle of Arizona? It looks like one hit him in the face. That's weird.
You're giving him too much credit.
I am.
I don't think it's that bushy.
I'm the last guy that should be making fun of
I don't think he'll be manscaping for 10 years.
But he did respond. He goes, "Hey, man, it was my mom's trust fund. And also, give me the number to the Man Center so I can go get my mustache fixed."
There you go.
That's good stuff, Ryan. Props for you for stepping up and being a man. Besides Mark Schell, who sent a picture of himself, which was just a unicorn Snapchat filter. And Mark, you were ugly anyways. The unicorn filter isn't going to help.
He was
I'm
an
sorry.
Extra in the Avengers for that guy with the rock jaw.
Thanos?
Yeah. All right.
He does kind of look like that.
Yes, he does. Do you want to get to Patrick now? Or do you
let's just get this out of the way. Patrick, don't make this worse than it has to be.
Patrick, what's up, man?
Yeah, man, I need to apologize to Fred and AJ. I made some really insensitive comments. Really too insensitive, and I need to apologize to their mothers too. I shouldn't be saying stuff like that to people on radio. I meant everything I said. But you know, I shouldn't be saying stuff like that. So you know, I have to apologize to them.
That was his Barkley apology.
Yeah.
That's where it dawned on me. I was like, "Oh, this is the mother's thing." Okay, that's the Barkley apology.
Yeah, it didn't hit me till later. I was like,
At first, I was like,
"We appreciate
this
the
going." Yeah,
are we
Patrick,
letting him go?
Yeah, well, you certainly did cause a storm yesterday.
Now, if you really want to see how that would fly,
you should call the
call
Blitz.
At 4 o'clock and give that call to the Blitz, and then see how that goes.
Because just like we're saying, if you're going to make fun of the way we look from the stream, which is fine, tweet us a picture. You should call the Blitz.
Well, we appreciate you loving us, Patrick.
We do, bud. Keep listening, and pretty clever to come up with the Barkley apology.
Yeah.
That was because at first I was like, oh no, don't go to the mom thing. And then it dawned on me. Okay. This is because he said, I meant what I said, but I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. That was perfect, Patrick.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Nailed it.
All right, we're at the midway point of the show. 90 in the rear view, 90 still to go. So we will take a quick break and come back with the second half and a whole lot more sports and stuff. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the big show. And on an FEF Friday, F stands for friends. A dear friend of the show, a very good personal friend of mine, is joining us right now. A guy that you know from the Gal Media family, Nate Griffin. You know him from Fox 26 in the mornings. You know him from Nate and Crate. And now you're going to know him for a very, very special event that he's been involved with for a while over at Rice University. And a guy that you might not know the backstory on, but it's a hell of a story and involves the Baltimore Ravens and a lot of backstory and O.J. Bergantz. Nate Griffin, welcome to the show, my friend. Always good to have you. And tell people what's going on over at Rice this weekend.
First of all, let me say hello to you guys.
What's up, man?
JB and Barry Laminack. What's going on, fellas? You guys having fun today, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, man.
First and foremost.
Of course.
Got a chance to host while you were out, and had a blast with JB.
We did have a good time. Good.
Yeah,
not too good. Not, I mean, you no, didn't, really you didn't do too good, right?
Yo, B, it was really good.
We're gonna have to start getting weaker fill-ins, Nick. I can't be getting Wally pipped. I mean, he's already got TV over me. He's better looking than I am. I can't. We got to do better.
I told everybody it's the show.
Can we get Trey to fill in while I'm out?
He's our version of Landau Clarissian. He's Landau Clarissian.
Now, why you got to be racist?
No, he's Billy D. He knows that.
You could have done to anybody.
Did I not? He agreed. We were good with that.
He did say that.
That's racist.
That's not racist.
I'll take
what am I going to call him?
Billy D.
Brad Pitt?
I mean, why not? He's handsome.
Billy D's a good looking guy.
Yes, he is.
So is Brad Pitt.
Was.
In fact,
D's not good looking anymore. Well, was.
He's a little older.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, one of my favorite actors.
Uh-huh.
Because he's a good looking guy.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Because he can act.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, so he could have said Brad Pitt and you'd have been fine with that.
I could have said what I said too and I was fine with it.
Racist. Yeah,
Nate, true. You did a phenomenal job. I'm sorry job you had to
go.
In.
I'm sorry you had fantastic. To go through that with him.
Looking
being racist.
Forward to having you back again, Nate.
Anyway, let me tell you guys about the event. So happy to be emceeing this event. It's the Celebration of Courage that's going to be at Rice University. It's the second annual Celebration of Courage, by the way, honoring one O.J. Bergantz. And if you don't remember O.J., O.J. played for Fred Goldsmith at Rice. He is still the career leader in tackles with 367. Guy was just phenomenal at Rice. And when he left Rice, he played in the Canadian Football League, won a Grey Cup, then moved to Baltimore. He actually won that in Baltimore. And he is one of the only players to have won two championships in the same city with the same football team.
Nice.
Two different football teams, I should say.
Nice.
He won a championship with the Baltimore Ravens in 2001, a 2001 football team, and then with the Baltimore Stallions with that football team. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's when they let American teams play in the CFL.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's when they allowed American teams to play in the CFL. And he also played with the St. Louis Rams and the Miami Dolphins and was just all world at Rice University. Anyway, they're going to celebrate his 11th year of living with ALS.
Damn.
And I actually did a feature piece with him today that's going to air on Fox at 5 o'clock, during the 5 o'clock show.
Okay.
Today.
He is
tonight, 5 p.m.
He is still looking phenomenal.
Wow.
Still looking
That's just great news. And if you don't know any of the backstory, check it out, because the Ravens, that was their inspiration.
Yes.
I mean, this was a guy that went from, as Nate said, was an all-world player, you know, just a physical specimen, and then to see what ALS had done, but that he would not quit the fight, and that's where Ray Lewis and a lot of guys really got back and said, this is the kind of inspiration we're talking about that people need to channel through what he can't do anymore, that he wants to do, what you guys should do, and they won the Super Bowl.
Exactly right. And you know what? He's still working for the Baltimore Ravens right now.
Is really?
Yes, he is. He's working for the Baltimore Ravens right now, and they help to support his efforts with ALS. My phone is just going nuts. You need to turn it down.
See, this is why.
Nate,
this is
you
why.
Filled in and Mario filled in. Mario was the guy that had the two phones going off, not you. We just need to make sure you don't start falling into that trap.
I left Billy the other D, phone in the
Billy
car.
Billy D. Williams would never have his phone go off.
He's got the Colt 45 working for him.
He would just be, he would have a 40.
Yeah, he's got the Colt 45 working for him. But O.J. Brigance, class individual. I had an opportunity to also speak with his wife, Shanda, today. And they talked about how big this event is and what they do for ALS. And they're helping people by raising money. So if you want to get involved, you want to help people, you want to raise money, you want to build whatever it is or give someone a wheelchair, whatever they need for ALS, BriganceBrigade.org is where you want to go. But this event's going to start in the morning at 9 o'clock with the 1.57 walk. And then at 6 o'clock, they're going to have the dinner event at the Bryan Patterson Center. And Tyrone Willingham is going to be there. Also, the new head football coach for Rice University, Mike Blumgren, is going to be there. The athletic director is also going to be there, Joe Carlgaard. And there are going to be plenty of others, former players as well. And a lot of OJ's former Rice teammates are going to be there tomorrow as well. So it's going to be a huge event. Awesome. I would urge people to get involved and go to BriganceBrigade.org to find out more about the organization. And even... you can probably go to Rice,
Rice Athletics,
and find out about the organization and find out how much it costs. I think it's like $30 for the walk, and it's like either $50 or $70 for the dinner. But you need to get involved with ALS. It is a debilitating disease, and to see what it has done. You talked about OJ being ripped. Went down, me and my wife visited them, he and his wife, in Miami. I had to play in a golf tournament down there some years ago. He was playing with the Dolphins, and you're talking about a ripped guy. Play linebacker.
Yeah.
You're talking about a ripped guy.
Yeah.
And I went to see him again in Baltimore, and I could tell something wasn't right. And you saw his body start to diminish. The physical attributes just start to diminish. And where he is now, he's in a good place, but ALS has taken away the physical abilities, but his mind is sharp.
Yeah.
I lost a dear friend here that was like a father figure to me here in Houston to ALS, and it's like you're trapped in your own body because – you know, I would stay up nights with him and watch games and things like that just because you're itching for the fact that you want to express yourself. Yes. You see how what we do it now that you guys can see us in the studio. We talk with our hands. We express ourselves. We do all these things. And then you lose the ability to talk and you lose the ability to function. And you know that your mind is still a steel trap of knowledge. And that has to be so frustrating to not be able to express yourself like people that have ALS have to go through.
He has an eye communication device, which he can actually type in the letters with his eyes and communicate with you.
That's great.
It's a very audible device. And I'm sure Steve Gleason probably has. You remember Steve Gleason?
Yep, from the Saints.
He probably has the same thing. So it's O.J. Brigance and Steve Gleason who are the face or the voice, four voices, if you will, for ALS. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. And certainly get out and support them if you can. If you needed more information, you can also hit me on Twitter at NateGriffFox26 or Color Analyst. You can also contact my friends Joel and just go forth with that if you need to get a hold of somebody to let them know what you want to do and help out. So certainly there it is, guys.
So there you go.
That's awesome, man.
Give them your email. Give them your
Twitter.
Yeah,
Barry is funny. We'll get you guys in touch with them. The producer, Nick, all of us can get you in touch with Nate. It's a good cause, and it's a walk, and there's still time to register, right? They can still get out there.
They can still nobody.
Take your
be
kids
told
out
no.
there, man. Register your kids. Teach your kids about giving back and supporting. And it's never too. It's a great cause, and you're really affecting people's lives. Like you said, you can the money you donate or the signing up can go to getting a wheelchair for somebody.
I was just
going to
say the wheelchair or the fact that you said he's able to type through eye communication device. That's all because of money raised to benefit people that have ALS. So it's a great cause, a great guy here, Nate Griffin, that you know is a friend of the family here. We're all one big happy family. So we appreciate him coming in on a Friday because he's been up so early dealing with the Fox 26 thing. So enjoy the weekend. Great cause. And don't be a stranger stopping by.
You know I won't.
Just don't be too good when you come by. Just don't be too good. I don't need you to.
Both of you guys just invite me. And that way, you know, we can just have some fun on the air together.
I like it.
How's that?
I like it.
There you go.
Sounds good.
Plan? Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate have a great weekend. Right. Have a good time at the event. All right. Now, you guys get involved in that, too. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. So don't go anywhere. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hey, right now I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. It's Mike and Tammy Gus. They've been in charge of American Wheel and Tire for over 15 years. Family's been involved for over 30. They're a fixture in Houston, Texas, and their title is American Wheel and Tire, but they do so much more. But if we're on that subject, wheels, tires, that's where you go. If you want to have that unique, one-of-a-kind look for your vehicle, check out all the variations of rims and tires you can get in American Wheel and Tire. If you've got damage to a stock rim or tire, and a lot of people are telling you, including the big box stores, hey, you got to replace those things. No, you really don't, because they can repair tires and they can not only buff out scratches, but they can remove dents from rims, including stock rims. And if they do have to replace them, they have a big warehouse in which you don't have to wait days or weeks to get those rims in as replacements. They take care of all the details. You sit in a comfortable weight room. They've got a big window where you watch your car being worked on. Your technician comes in, communicates everything that they're doing that they don't have to do and what you're being charged for throughout the process. So there's never any curveballs or surprises. And if you want that unique and special look for your vehicle overall, it's not just wheels and tires. You can get Kevlar wraps for your vehicle. You can get rims, tires, steps, bumpers, lights, all the different things for your SUV, and it's all conveniently located. Check out all the different vehicles that they've been able to update at AmericanWheelAndTire.com and stop by and see them in person. 290 and 34th Street. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, you heard the man. It is knee-deep in an FEF Friday. It is The Usual Suspects. F is also for funny, and Kazeem Rahman is our comedian of the week. Barry has a personal connection to the man. He is funny. You will hear another clip in about a half hour, give or take. So stay tuned for that. Nate Griffin just joined us. If you missed that or any part of the first part of the show, check the podcast. Get involved. Make sure you catch up and stay current.
Is there a nicer guy in this business than Nate
Griffin?
He's
awesome. He just really is.
I mean, really, find me one. Find me a nicer person in the radio and television business than him.
I would not good disagree. Luck. Yep.
I mean, I've never seen him in a bad mood. I've never seen him have a disparaging word to say about anyone in his business. He's always positive. He's always, man, what a great dude.
And what he believes is what he believes. Yeah. He doesn't let anybody sway him.
No. He's not going to let you. Yeah, he's not going to. If he has an opinion, he's going to stick with it no matter what.
If I say I'm not talking about this, I'm not. If I say I'm doing this, I am. If you try and tell me I should do this, that's your opinion, but I'm sticking to what I say. That's part of what makes Nate great, too. So
I would love to spend 3 hours with him trying to make him uncomfortable.
That would be interesting.
Because he's like that. He's like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do it. But that would be awkward for me,
I'm sure.
And
the other thing we're saying is, that, which Nick and I found out, because we had never done a show with him like that when he filled in for you. But the one thing is, if he does feel passionate about a very controversial topic, it ain't going to hold him back.
Yeah.
He came out firing, and that was good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember working with him, and he got a little bit of heat for the, was it the Lamar Jackson comment on text?
Yeah.
Didn't hold back. Love the way he did it. And you can always appreciate someone like that. And he is one of the nicest guys in these hallways, no question. So,
man. Yeah. Somebody said, I'm not gay, but I would kiss Joel on the mouth. I don't know what that means.
Where did that come from?
It just means I'm a strikingly handsome man.
It means it was on the text line.
Did he maybe manufacture it was, that, Joel? Or did was that
I,
really
no, I just, it
was a text. Go look in the text. It was right there. Mandy said that I was, because people were talking about how ugly I look like a penis. And she was like, You're cute in a nerdy way. I don't know if that's a compliment.
That's a compliment.
Yeah.
It's a total compliment.
Is it?
Yep. There are a lot of people that were willing to give you compliments too, Nick, chicks, but the producer camera's not up.
Chicks dig the, a lot of chicks are attracted to nerds.
What we should do is for a whole segment, we should put the camera on Nick.
I agree. No.
And just let the stream roast Nick.
No.
I agree.
And just talk about Nick.
You want to borrow the dad hat? You can. The pink headphones are available. Just let
me know. Yeah, they're not pink, they're red, you colorblind folks.
And the a-hole that keeps texting and continuing to go on and take shots. Again, we made the rules. If you want to be that guy, then let's send the pictures.
Who are you talking about now?
Tell us what you do. The guy... Now, then when I said, when we were talking about our wives, opposites attract, and he was like, stupid comments. The bottom line is, you can call it overachieving if you want. We've got beautiful wives. What do you got? Exactly.
I'm not making fun of y'all, just giving y'all a picture. I listened to all of y'all all day. I think y'all are awesome. And then he sent in a picture. And you remember when the slap chop guy was accused of being on meth?
God, I thought it was going to be a 12-year-old boy's pubic bone again, but
he looks like either like an extra in a prison movie.
I can see that.
Or like when the slap chop guy was on meth because he's got on headphones because he drives a truck.
See, if they ever remake the Partridge Family movie, he could be Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, that's not bad either. Yeah. Look, I assume if you send me a picture, you want me to roast you. But I said we have to do it on Twitter. Everyone has to be able to, because it makes no sense if I'm roasting you with a picture that no one else can see. But if you'll, so just at Barry is Funny, send me your picture. I'll roast you. I don't care. We'll do it. And you can roast me too, because you guys do it every day anyway.
We do it. We get it whether we like it or not daily.
Yeah, every day, all day. Somebody said, the reason the arena is not the same is because the tickets are too expensive. Do you think that matters? Maybe. No, I don't. Because I think most of the lower bowl is purchased by corporations and they give them to people.
That's true.
You have your option to show up or not. Plus, what's the excuse in the other basketball cities where the arena is full? Because those are just as expensive.
And what are you saving it for? Yeah. This isn't the regular season against the bad Clippers or the Nets. This is when it means the most. This is when everybody should be there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Astros are more attended, I feel like, and then there's a whole bunch of people jumping off the bandwagon saying they're not going to repeat.
There's a bunch of sprained ankles in Houston right now.
Why are you worried about home court if you don't have one?
Right. What's the advantage?
Right.
USA Mike texted, you know, he hung up earlier when he called.
Right.
But he said, sorry, I had to hang up. I was going to say that Houston fans don't commit to a team until they're winning. The Big Sequoia will be jumping if they get to the Warriors. Houston fans don't want to commit to something unless it's a sure thing. Thoughts?
That's fair. There's a
sense of doubt. There's a sense of doubt, I feel like, in the fan base that is kind of unspoken. And I kind of feel that when I'm walking in Toyota Center at games sometimes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's still no excuse. We've always mentioned, was it the United Center the Bulls play in?
Yep.
We've talked about that arena. We've talked about OKC and their attendance.
Oakland.
Yep. I mean, we talk about traffic here, but there's traffic in Oakland.
The traffic is the worst excuse ever. Ever. It's the worst excuse. There's bad traffic in all these cities.
Now, well, and you have to plan accordingly. If you know you have Rockets tickets for a playoff game for 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, then you get a babysitter in advance. Then you make those arrangements. You take clothes with you. Baby, I'll meet you at this parking lot, or I'll meet you at this restaurant. We'll have dinner before the game. You make those plans in advance. It's not like you just happened upon Rockets tickets at 4 p.m. the day of the game.
I'm just telling you.
You should plan ahead.
Go try to leave a Texans game at the end of that game. Try to leave a Rockets game. It's not that bad compared to other cities, though. Try to leave Lambeau Field at the end of that game. Try to leave Alabama.
Yeah.
Dude, it'll take you 2-3 hours just to get out where you're trying to go. It won't take that long here in Houston. That's why I don't buy traffic. They just hate traffic so much. They're just not used to, like, if they're sat in worse traffic, maybe they'd appreciate it more. But there's other traffic in other cities, Houston, that are way worse.
Yeah, LA and New York is god awful.
I've
sat in both.
Without
question. But Houston is pretty bad.
I got news for you, though. The Oracle Arena sits right on a highway. So the traffic, just trying to get on, trying to get off, bad, trying to get parking. And it's in the same piece of land as the Oakland Coliseum for baseball. So it's in the middle of crap. Chicago's got a ton of traffic, as we know. So, I get it. Regular season, I can understand it. Weekdays and all that, you know. But this is why you wanted home court advantage. Take advantage of it.
That guy that we were just roasting, the guy you said looked like Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah,
he said, "I am a truck driver, and I have been to prison, but I don't have Twitter, and tell Joel I'm also a diehard Packer fan. So there's the good and the bad of it.
So he could be an actor. He's playing Danny Bonaduce.
We're going to die. He's going to shank us.
No.
He's
a Packer fan. He wouldn't shank me.
You know you're dealing with a guy that could take a joke and has confidence if they send you the picture. It's just if you go start randomly roasting people that aren't asking for it. That's the difference.
That's called text messages and Twitter.
Yeah. Have you ever been on those Reddit roasts? You don't use Reddit at all.
No,
do you?
I don't.
Have you ever, Nick, are you a Reddit guy?
I mean, when I want to stream stuff legally.
Whoops.
There is a roast me on Reddit. If you want to see something funny, go to r/roastme. Oh my God. You think I'm mean? I'm like holding back?
Oh, Reddit is brutal.
No. But people post their pictures and say, roast me. And then Reddit just goes to town. It gets so bad that people have actually deleted the post because it's hurt them so much. Which you don't know any of these people, but it's fun. If you're not on it, go check out Reddit Roast Me. You will enjoy that. This is a great way to kill a day at work.
Or kill somebody else when they're roasting you.
Or get lost.
All right, two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show. We'll take it up till 4, then we'll turn it over to the Blitz with Fred, AJ, and John. They'll take you home till 7. It's all right here in one location, ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.